E-cigarettes continue to be some of the most commonly used tobacco products among children all across the country. In fact, if you look at some of the 2023 statistics that came out of the National Youth Tobacco Survey, more than 2 million kids nationwide use e-cigarettes. Nearly 90% of them use flavored products that are incredibly harmful to their health. And so as children head back to school, health advocates are warning about these flavored e-cigarettes that continue to be a real serious problem addicting our youth. Joining us this morning is President and CEO of the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, Yolanda Richardson. And welcome to WICC, Yolanda. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Let's talk about, first of all, Yolanda, how did this become such a huge issue across the nation?
Well, the Federal Drug Administration has the power to address this problem. When the Tobacco Control Act was passed, a national one in 2009, it got full regulatory power to regulate tobacco products. And e-cigarettes are a product that it just has not used its regulatory heft to clear the market on of. Currently, there are millions of illegal products on the market that are harming our kids. And as you indicated in the introduction, 2 million kids now vape e-cigarettes. And that means that that's 2 million more kids who are now becoming addicted to nicotine with all of its harmful consequences for young people.
Why are these flavored products so dangerous? And if you were to compare, for example, vaping to cigarette use, what's the difference?
So flavors in and of themselves are not dangerous. The flavors are what attract kids to the use of these products. The nicotine is what addicts them and turns them into long-term addicts. And we know from the Surgeon General and other health agencies that nicotine addiction among kids is really damaging to their health. It creates all kinds of problems with brain development. And so we just really don't need our kids to be using any kind of tobacco products. On the one hand, we saw a real public health, successful public health response to children smoking. And so those rates are down to 2% across the country. And then in contrast, e-cigarettes, which are most of the products which are on the market illegally, 2 million kids now use those products. And as I said, that's 2 million more kids than we need. So youth kids are using e-cigarettes at much higher rates than they're smoking, and it's just a problem. And that problem is not being sufficiently addressed by our government.
And apparently, I was looking this up, and health experts say that disposable e-cigarettes can contain more nicotine than 10 packs of cigarettes.
Yes, and this is a troubling trend. The longer they've been on the market, and again, reminding you they're on the market illegally, the more nicotine has been put in these products, creating them highly intensive, addictive products for our young people. And these heavy, heavy doses of nicotine are coming at the kids through these packaging and marketing of them as very kid-friendly. And kids often don't know how much nicotine that they're actually getting exposed to, and this becomes a real problem for them and for administrators and for parents. So we really have to be more vigilant in making sure that these products are unavailable to our kids. The Federal Drug Administration needs to rid the market of these products, and we just want to see them step up enforcement much, much, much more aggressively.
It's really interesting. We have Yolanda Richardson here, who is the president and CEO of the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids. And we're talking about these really harmful e-cigarettes and vaping products and really the flavors that are attracting kids to want to try this. I remember it was about 5 years ago, Yolanda, my sister-in-law had been starting her college journey. And I was, semi, I don't want to say new to the family, but I certainly didn't feel like I was in a position to tell her what she could or could not do. But I remember saying to my husband, will you please tell your sister to not try vaping? Because I had seen pictures of her, trying this and thinking, oh, this is a really common thing to do. And again, that was about 5 years ago. I'm a little bit out of touch, to be honest. And by the way, she did stop. But I'm a little out of touch. Mm-hmm. I had not heard of these nicotine pouches. What are those? Because that seems to be the new craze right now.
Yes, it's all over social media, and it has the exact same problem that tobacco products and e-cigarettes have, which is the levels of nicotine that are in them. And I think that the industry has gotten really smart trying to create multiple products on the market that will addict our children. They are trying to have more products on the market with more different kinds of availability and attractions. And so, therefore, there's a whole set of products that young people can use. And all the primary goal being addicting kids as young as possible, and so that they become lifelong consumers of these products because they're now addicts. So the Zen pouch, e-cigarettes, regular combustible cigarettes, all of them should not be being consumed by children. Children just should not be using tobacco products. And your point is very well taken about the fact that adults, one of the main things that adults can do, because we all know that kids model adults, is not to use these products themselves. So I think it's very important for people not to think that because they're not cigarettes, that they're somehow less harmful and don't cause as much harm, health harms, as other products do.
Well, because it's interesting, Yolanda. Again, I'm not a drug user per se. I think I've tried hookah maybe twice in my life, and that's because I was living in South Africa for part of my junior year of college, and it was more of like a cultural experience. But I mean, go back more than a decade when I was graduating from college. I will bring up hookah because I think a lot of college students had it in their minds that this was totally fine. This was not going to do anything to them, to their lungs, their throat, any of that. And that seemed to be kind of more of the craze, if you will. There wasn't really like a there wasn't really a vaping issue, when I was in college. But again, I know I'm a little bit older, but I what I'm seeing here is that I don't think when you see these flavors of like bubblegum and cotton candy and whatever, I don't know if kids really realize the harmful product that they're even consuming or trying for the first time. Would you agree?
Absolutely not. But I can tell you this, that the tobacco industry and the vape industry spend billions of dollars every year. And they know exactly the tactics to use to get young people to start to try their products. They make them cool. They make them sexy. They make them fun. And they underplay the harm that can possibly be caused through the use of their products. So there's nothing new here in their marketing playbook. They use the same tactics that addicted our young people to cigarettes, are being used to addict them to e-cigarettes, are being used to addict them to these now Zen products and oral products. So it's exactly the same playbook. Nothing has changed. They know exactly what to do. And as you said, with so many variations of products on the market, there are multiple ways to get our kids addicted.
Again, one of the most recent are these nicotine pouches that are placed inside your mouth between, the lip and the gum. And that's like the latest craze. Mm-hmm. But there's still the vaping products, the disposable e-cigarettes as well that continue to attract more and more youth here and across the country. And we have Yolanda Richardson here, president and CEO of the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids. We just learned about the latest product that is attracting, unfortunately, teens and adolescents, young people to these e-cigarettes and these flavored vapor products, nicotine pouches, which we have been talking about, the latest craze, and unfortunately leading kids to become addicted to nicotine, which is a problem. So how do you start the conversation with your kids talking about the dangers of these products, Yolanda?
Such an excellent question. I think as we had talked about earlier, it's really important, first and foremost, that parents not use any of these tobacco products so that they're not modeling this kind of behavior. But second, I think, it's really important for parents to be paying attention and determining whether or not there's any risk of their children smoking or using e-cigarettes or any tobacco product. And that really starts with just engaging your young person, asking them questions about what they're doing, making sure they're informed that these products are not harmless just because they come in flavored products like cotton candy or pink lemonade or bubble gum. Making sure that you're paying attention to the signs that indicate that a kid may be using e-cigarettes, which includes things like sleeplessness, agitation, all of the things that sort of come with an addiction. And then lastly, I think it's really important just to keep the lines of communication constantly open with our teens. And we all know how hard that it can be sometimes. But I think it's really important for them to know that they shouldn't be using these products. There's nothing cool or sexy or interesting about the products. They cause real long-term damage and harm.
I also think, too, you know, you had said before, Yolanda, that obviously the FDA needs to step up in a major way. Absolutely. But instead of us waiting, obviously, for something, you know, federal major to happen, are there things that our cities and towns or even the state of Connecticut can do in a more effective way to protect our kids or crack down on these products?
Absolutely. Cities and states have full authority to regulate these products and remove them from the market. And some cities and states around the country have done just that. And so we are really encouraging cities and states to make sure that these products are not on the market. Now, before these products can go on the market, FDA has to pre-approve them. So we know what products should be on the market. Most of the products that FDA has approved to be on the market are ones without any flavors. And so of the 34 e-cigarettes, based on the millions that are on the market, there are only 34 that should be on the market for sale, and almost all of them do not contain flavors. So city and state, knowing that, can remove these products from the marketplace. They also can take their own action to pass their own laws and regulations to be able to use their local regulatory powers to be able to remove them much more swiftly. So coordinating with FDA, implementing their own laws and policy, and then just clearing the market of these products is the best thing that city and states can do.
We're actually watching one of our local towns listening to our show right now. They're in the midst of trying to put, you know, something in place for their municipality, Milford. The mayor has come forward and said, we don't want to allow any more, even if they're legal shops, to open. He's like, we have enough of them. We don't need to just allow more in the marketplace. So he's trying to create a cap on more of these shops coming in and, you know, creating more opportunity for kids to even be attracted to it. So, I mean, even little things like that, you know, can make a big difference. And certainly it is so important that if you live in a town or city where this is something you're concerned about or you're upset about it, you can take action. Speak to your local representatives and see what can be done, you know, again, at the hyper-local level, certainly at the state level as well. But we are also pushing for the FDA to finally make some changes. I mean, it's just the data is there proving that this is such a huge issue. And as they come out, as you said, Yolanda, with more and more creative ways to attract young people to these products, it's going to become a bigger and bigger challenge if we don't, dare I say, kind of cut off the head of the snake here. We need to, you know, go right to the source of the problem and put regulations in place. But until that happens, you know, let's see what we could do on the local level as well. Yolanda Richardson, I want to thank you so much. If people want more information, what is the best way to learn more and get more?
Please feel free to go to our website at tobaccofreekids.org. You'll have lots of information about the scope and scale of the crisis and the epidemic, and there are also resources available if kids have started to vape, or they can go to get support in cessation. So those are sites both at the government and at Truth Initiative, which is a major partner of ours. So every part of society needs to be incredibly vigilant, parents, schools, and governments, to help us end this epidemic.
I absolutely agree. And Yolanda Richardson, I want to thank you so much for making the time to come on the show. And hopefully we will talk again very soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Yolanda, again, who is the president and CEO of the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids here on WICC.